Missoula for Andrew Joran. You go to Missoula, Montana to do a poetry reading. You've been invited to read there by someone you have never met. A friend from San Francisco will also be there. You believe this will be a good occasion for a road trip for you and your wife. Maybe someone will buy some books. Various reasons for going there seep into your consciousness and crowd out the purest of all reasons for going there, which is the joy of momentum, extension, expansion, range, the hum of the hymn of the hum of the road. You get in the car and drive out of Seattle. It's early April and raining heavily. The city thins, trees thicken, the rain lets up. You can stretch, you can breathe. The country is open, so the mind itself opens, leaves agitated, flapping, flickering, telling you what is in the air. River tattooed with irritant whirling, cottonwood at the frontier of perception, language cut in half, hemorrhaging metaphors. This shows that thread is red and insight is blue, the anatomy of morning smelling of rain and strawberries, the slow drool of light over the edge of a mountain. You stop in North Bend for breakfast at the Twin Peaks Cafe. What exactly is asphalt, you wonder? What are the components of asphalt? Asphalt is the cupcake of confrontation. Asphalt is nobody's fault. Asphalt is for brawling, the brawl of wheels, the brawn of wheels. Gravel is anything. The gravel just shrugs. You order pancakes with a side order of bacon, large glass of orange juice, and a cup of coffee. Your wife orders a spinach omelet. Blood flows more freely when the body has food in it. Apples shine brighter. Objects yell at the window. Let us out. Let us in. Let us remedy space with linen and thread. Let us conjure your nerves into the glamour of composition, the management of wheels, the politics of gray and the squirrels of inquiry. Unleash articulation. Attire the morning with Wurlitzer chrome. Life is an amalgam, you think, an accumulation of moments, sensations, perceptions, thoughts, reflections that turn into memory, turn into cantos and coal, become conundrum and backbone, the slow diameter of ketchup, the insurgency of skin. You see hawks, horses grazing, their necks in a graceful descent, their soft muzzles working the grass, blue rag tied to a fence post, a house sitting alone with a jumble of junk machinery scattered on the grounds, everything in a reverie the West. You stop for gas in Vantage, which is a tiny town with a museum of petrified ginkgo overlooking the Columbia River Gorge. It's a great place to stop and get gas and wonder what direction your life is going in. You look for a ginkgo and a picnic table where you once had a picnic with your father a few years before he died. A young man arrives in a pickup. He's wearing a cowboy hat. Out here, you realize men wear cowboy hats. It's exciting to be in a part of the country where men wear cowboy hats, though not too keen to be in a part of the country where they might also be inclined to vote for Bush and believe the world was slapped together in six days by a slap-happy God. Albeit out here, you cannot deny it. Religion is everywhere. It is in the rocks, the aridity, the smell of sage, the blacktop, sunsets inscribed in reveries of grain, glossaries of dirt, invocations of hop, pallet of pears lifted by chain, paper on a table soft as an afterthought, birds knotted in confluent air, mornings bulging with goldenrod. In the beginning was the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came into being. Nothing that exists came into being apart from him. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has never conquered it. Can there be anything more gothic than a field of lava caked and brittle since the Pleistocene? Here in oblivion, bowling is a daydream. A thin piece of buzz, the savage claw of conviction. Words pop into your mind, vellum, valium, enamel. Nice combinations that maybe you can use it in a poem sometime. You look around and see de Kooning colors everywhere, warm earth tones, beige, ochre, brown, tan, leather, olive. If you had some time, you could coax some narrative on that barn over there. Give it a life of fiction, a life of fiction starring Sam Shepard and Penelope Cruz. A life full of buckskin, catastrophe, and rickety pickups. A life of ease, a life of storms, a life of booze. You think about words all the time. Thinking about words is engrossing. Thinking about words humors the candy of alternation. You love to do it. You do it all the time. You bead consonants with vowels. You make hats out of borscht. You permit the truth of peppermint to gurgle a vastness of chalk. You put words in your head and light them with thought. Let them idle on the alchemy of paper. Bundle them in grammar. Hurt them into speech. The word lid, you decide, has an aggressive logic, but you don't know why the word lid is suddenly in your head. You picture your head with a lid on it. You lift the lid and bats fly out. When it comes to writing poetry, you can be diligent or cryptic, or both. You can be diligently cryptic or cryptically diligent. You think of handling pain like a yo-yo, pain on a string going up and down. Picture that, mental or physical pain on a string going up and down. You get back on the road and see many wonderful and lonely things. A chair sitting in a yard all by itself. Meadows, roads, gullies, hills. American flags in front of house trailers. Bluebells in a ditch. Two men in an aluminum boat in the middle of Moses Lake. A bold blob of oak coming into greater and greater definition. Junked cars, sage and grain elevators and high rolling hills. Rivers, ponds, marshes, lakes. A garden of heliotrope and amaryllis. Cows licking cubes of salt. Cottonwood and the banks of the Yakima River. Dirt everywhere in furrows, rills, crests. It's planting season. There are tractors everywhere stirring up dust. It's a hard life out here. A hard life to work the dirt and put seeds in it and hope they come up and stay up until it's time to harvest whatever it is you put in the dirt and watered and tended. Hours later, you arrive in Missoula. You arrive in Missoula to read poetry. Why, you wonder, why am I here in Missoula to read poetry? When the life out here is so hard, so desolate, so down to earth, so resigned, you are approaching your 60s. You have devoted your entire life to words, to putting words together. Why? Because elements and minerals, because apples and nebulae in outer space, because sand is no secret and dust is the opposite of popcorn, because linoleum is consonant with sweat, because society is always trying in some way or other to grind this down to a single flat surface. Because reality is crushed by mesmerizing sounds. Because cellophane is silly and pleasure rolls and waves through the body. Because moods seep into the skull and congeal into lagoons like candy in a library. Because the biology of the trumpet occasions valves. Because the divinity of metal awakens the machinery of flight. Because the rain is wet and the memory is warm. Because birds are alert and nervous and the complexities of human biology become more taxing with age. Because excursion compounds the rapture of words and the rapture of words is ravenous for excursion. Because poetry approximates the temperature at the core of the sun and the evidence of stone is inscrutable when one's dreams are red. Because the smell of a cellar, because towers in the distance, because goblets, camellias, menus, and poles, because space continually expands, because heat is wonderful, because razors and cork and eyebrows and lamps, because words are everywhere and obstinate as salmon, because you are here, here you are in Missoula.